Chapter 30. For so long, a chip had rested on Kelsey's shoulder. Her former director, Hesley, had given her an ultimatum to fall in line or face prison for her bold incursions into classified business. Kelsey had chosen to partake in a broken system, with a vow to herself to make it better from within. By rising up, she could challenge the status quo, she had reasoned. Yet 18 years on, the system felt more broken than ever. She was the director, and all she had achieved in that time was a sticking plaster. As she surveyed the excited crowd before her, guilt swirled in her stomach. If only they knew the truth, the experiments, the secrecy, on her watch, and she was powerless to stop it. She blinked hard, trying to bring herself out of her guilt and despair into the present moment. The crowd bustled through the gleaming new building. Children and adults with metal limbs and permanent electrodes on their scalps played with the center's toys and giggled together, supervised by a new clutch of automatons wearing soothing pastel uniforms over their shiny exteriors. Exhausted family carers seized the precious time to enjoy the free coffee and snacks and adult conversation with their peers. Photographers mingled in the crowd, catching candid shots of the attendees, while reporters interviewed the delighted families. Kelsey straightened her lapels, then stepped up on a chair and clinked a flute of orange juice. "Ladies, gentlemen, NBs, thank you all for being here today. It is my honor and privilege to formally open the first Disability Resource Center in our city. Neonates, adults, and their support network are all welcome here. This space allows those with individual needs to be supported in their development from day one and for their families to connect with others along the way. Thank you for your support, and here's to no child being left behind," said Kelsey. She raised her glass proudly, to enthusiastic applause from the 100 or so attendees. Photographers buzzed around her while reporters jostled to get their questions answered. Kelsey fielded a barrage of inquiries into the cost of the new building, the disability rates among the center's newborns, and the long-term goals for the center. This was followed by in-depth interviews with each newspaper and radio network. After 2 hours, Kelsey was exhausted. She left her colleagues to close the event and headed out into the forecourt.
"Director?"
came a call from behind. A besuited woman hurried towards her. She had a long red ponytail and clutched a notepad. "No more interviews today, thank you," said Kelsey, marching onwards.
"I'm not a journalist. I'm Detective Clerkenwell. We are unburdened."
"May we use it well? How can I help you, Detective?" said Kelsey, taken aback.
"There's been a report of malpractice in your department. Birth defects, children going to the wrong parents. Does that ring any bells?"
Kelsey swallowed, hard. "No, it does not. We follow best practice at this institute. If there was malpractice, I would know."
"Mind if I drop by the office, take a look at the records?"
"Of course. I trust you have a warrant?" The detective's face soured.
"It's being processed."
"Excellent. Make an appointment with my staff once the warrant's in place. Perhaps I'll see you in a week or so," said Kelsey.
"I'll have it first thing tomorrow," said the detective coldly.
Kelsey paced away towards the fertility center, feeling the detective's eyes lingering on the back of her head. She hurried through the lobby and weaved through to her office, checking over her shoulder several times as she went. Kelsey hit the elevator button and waited for the doors to close, then collapsed against the side, gasping for breath. The doors chimed open, and an automaton stood in the threshold. Kelsey stepped past it awkwardly. The machine's head rotated, keeping its gaze fixed on her as its body glided into the elevator. Kelsey hurried through the corridor, past the mechanical and chemical rooms, to the archives beyond. She peered through the door window to the tunnel at the far end. The orange light was flashing and the klaxon sounding. The hatch opened, and a steam cart puffed into the room. An automaton appeared from the sidelines, carrying a bronze filing cabinet, which it deposited directly on board. It rotated the cart, then dispatched it again. The whole operation took less than a minute. With the exchange over, the automaton glided from the room. Kelsey slipped inside as it left, hastening to the area the machine had been lurking. It had been tending to the opposite row to her explorations the day before. Hidden in the shadows was a line of tattered bronze cabinets distinct from the others. Kelsey pulled the nearest drawer open and rifled through. There it was, the date she'd been searching for. She grabbed the folder and placed it flat, then flicked through until she found the birth certificate she'd forged for Sophia and Nina's triplets. Now that she knew what to look for, it was easy to spot. She snatched the record and tucked it into her jacket, then lay in wait by the door. It took an hour for another automaton to come by and give her an out. Hurrying through the lobby, she bid farewell to the night porter, then set off for the only place she could think to go. Kelsey entered the tattoo parlor. The tiny shop looked like a lantern strapped to the corner of a derelict neighborhood where 2 and 3 street lamps were defunct. The bearded, bare-armed tattoo operative was a human billboard for his own trade. Barely a patch of skin was untouched by some swirling emblem. His customer was a shaven-headed man of similar age, receiving a curious pond of dolphins to the top of his neck. The buzzing tattoo pen shuddered to a halt as she entered. Both men glared at Kelsey.
"Is Carl in?"
"You a cop?" replied the tattooist warily. Kelsey lifted the base of her shirt to reveal a set of wings tattooed on the left side of her abdomen.
"Old customer," she said.
The tattooist jerked his head backward. Kelsey followed the steer through a beaded curtain, along a corridor stacked with laundry machines, past an empty room with large floor cushions and opium pipes, until she reached a door. She glanced back at her lengthy escape route, then knocked. A man opened the door with improbable haste. He had more piercings than a pincushion, at least as many tattoos as his colleagues out front, and a pink feather boa draped around his shoulders.
"Who are you?" he snapped.
"You don't recognize me, Carl? I've not aged that badly," winked Kelsey flirtatiously.
"Kelsey," he gasped, "you look like a fed."
"Relax, I'm not here to bust you. That is, assuming you're willing to help out an old friend. I need a favor."
Carl's eyes flicked to the distant storefront.
"Damn it. Come in," he muttered.
His cupboard-sized office made the storefront look like a stadium. Shelves clung to every inch of wall from floor to ceiling, stuffed with contraband from passports to money to powder.
"Still playing the old trade, huh?" she said, eyeing up the stock. "I thought you'd have learned after my parents."
Carl shifted uncomfortably.
"What do you want?"
Kelsey pulled Sophia and Nina's letter from her jacket.
"I need a central ministry emblem on this document."
Carl inspected the paper.
"You know these people?" he said curiously.
"Never mind that. Can you do it or not?"
"How much?"
he said, attempting to recline, and immediately hitting a shelf.
"Put it this way. If you don't do this, I'll tell the cops all about your little powder party back here and the things I saw when you hired me as your intern. If I recall, the pay never materialized for that role, did it? Some would call that fraud, Carl."
The man scowled.
With much muttering, he retrieved a forgery kit.
"Wait on the sofas. I'll be 30 minutes, he snapped.
Kelsey took a seat in the hazy shisha room. The thick smoke scratched at her eyes and scorched her lungs until she could bear it no longer. She staggered out into the night air, spluttering, to recover against a broken street lamp. Carl marched out to find her sometime later.
"I said the sofas," he snapped. "Since when do we do transactions in the street? Wait, is this a sting?"
"If this was a setup, I wouldn't have breathed your crappy air for 20 minutes. Give me that."
She snatched the airs and examined the forgery of the forgery. The new emblem was spot on.
"Nice work. This makes us about 0.001% even for you ruining my parents' lives forever," said Kelsey, tucking the paperwork away.
"Nah, girl, we're even. You're in deep, too. Got the feds breathing down your neck, I can tell. Which means you won't be snitching on me anytime soon."
He grabbed her coat and pulled her close, boring into her pupils with bloodshot eyes. His breath stank of stale cigarettes and powder.
"Don't ever threaten me again. Understood?"
Kelsey broke free and stepped back, heart racing. The days when she would have shrugged such intimidation off were long gone. She had a family of her own now. Violence meant something. Carl spat by her feet and stormed back toward the parlor.
"And don't ever come back!"